Chapter 31. By the next morning, our nighttime experiments into power and magic have begun to take their toll. Our faces are pasty and pale, our lips cracked. My mind's in a fog, and I'm so tired that I can barely speak in English, let alone French, which presents problems in Mademoiselle Lafarge's class. It doesn't help that I've stumbled in, nearly late. Mademoiselle Lafarge chooses to make a game of my tardiness. Now that I am her prized student, a shining example of her superior teaching skills, she's inclined to be playful with me.
Bonjour, Mademoiselle Gemma. Quelle heure est-il?
I know the answer. It's on the tip of my tongue. Something about the weather, I think. If only I had enough magic left over to help me make it through her class. But sadly, I'm going to have to sail through on my own paltry steam. The weather is... Bloody hell. What is the French word for rain? Le rain? La rain? Is the rain masculine or feminine? It's such a bother that it must be masculine. Le weather est le rainy, I say, mangling the last bit, though the le makes it sound more French. The girls giggle, which only convinces Mademoiselle Lafarge that I'm making fun of her.
Miss Doyle, this is a disgrace. Just 2 days ago you proved yourself an exemplary student. Now you have the audacity to mock me. Perhaps you'll fare better in a room of 8-year-olds.
She turns her back on me, and for the remainder of the class it's as if I don't exist. Mrs. Nightwing has noticed our pallor. She forces us to take a walk in the gardens, thinking the cool air will put roses in our cheeks. I take the opportunity to tell my friends about my run-in with Bridget last night.
So Cersei is Sarah Rees' tomb, and she's alive?
Felicity shakes her head, incredulous.
We've got to find that photograph, I say.
We tell Mrs. Nightwing we're searching for a lost glove. She lets us search high and low. We scour the rooms one by one, Anne suggests.
Pippa groans.
It will take us a year.
Let's each take a floor, shall we? I say. Pippa gives me the large doe eyes.
Must we?
I push her toward the school.
Yes.
After an hour of searching, I still haven't found it. I've paced the third floor so many times, I'm sure I've worn the carpets thin. With a sigh, I stand in front of the existing class photographs, willing them to talk, to tell me something about where I might find what's missing. The ladies do not oblige me. I'm drawn to the photograph of 1872, with its rippled surface. Gently, I remove it from the wall and turn it over. The back of the photograph is smooth, not ruined at all. Turn it back over, and there's the wavy front. How can that be? Unless it's not the same photograph at all. Hurriedly, I tug at the corners of the photograph, like pulling back a carpet. There is another photograph behind the one in the frame. A buzzing starts in my ears. 8 graduating girls sit grouped on the lawn. In the background is the unmistakable outline of Spence. At the bottom, in fine print, it reads, Class of 1871. I found it. Names are scrawled along the bottom in a cramped hand. Left to right, Millicent Jenkins, Susanna Merriweather, Anna Nelson, Sarah Rees' tomb. My head bobs. My finger traces up to Sarah. She's turned her head at the moment the picture was snapped, giving off a blurred profile that's hard to read. I squint, but can't really make out much. My finger moves on to the girl next to her. A buzzing starts in my ears. My mouth goes dry. She's looking directly into the camera with her wise, penetrating eyes. Eyes I've known my whole life. I look for her name, though I already know the one I'll find. The one she abandoned and left to die in a fire years before I was even born. Mary Dowd. The girl staring back at me from that class of 1871 is Mary Dowd. My mother.